Hey, it's time for VoiceOver Body Shop Tech Talk number 70. Woohoo! Tech Talk number 70. How long have we been doing this? Well, we've been doing it almost 11 years. So, but Tech Talk, we've been doing what, 5 years now? I think we changed it over. And so just do the math. How many weeks are there in a year and all that?
Anyway, math for my addled New Year brain.
Yeah. So with all the cash you have that you got for Christmas, George is going to get to his tech update and say, hey, you can get this, you can get that. We have more questions from our audience, and I'm going to talk a little bit about some of the portable acoustical accoutrements that you should or shouldn't have. All coming up on VoiceOver Body Shop Tech Talk right now.
From the outer reaches, they came, bearing the knowledge of what it takes to properly record your voiceover audio. And together, from the center of the VO universe, they bring it to you now. George Whittem, the engineer to the VO stars, a Virginia Tech grad with the skills to build, set up, and maintain the professional VO studios of the biggest names in VO today. And you, Dan Leonard, the voiceover home studio master, a professional voice talent with the knowledge and experience to help you create a professional sounding home VO studio. And each week, they allow you into their world, making the complex simple, debunking the myths of what it takes to create great sounding audio, answering your questions, showing you the latest and greatest in VO tech, and having a dandy time doing it. Welcome to VoiceOver Body Shop Tech Talk.
VoiceOver Body Shop Tech Talk is brought to you by VoiceOverEssentials.com, home of Harlan Hogan signature products, Source Elements, remote studio connections for everyone, VoiceActorWebsites.com, where your VO website isn't a pain in the butt, VOHeroes.com, become a hero to your clients with award-winning voiceover training, J. Michael Collins Demos, when quality matters, and VoiceOver Extra, your daily resource for VO success.
And now, live to thrive from their super secret clubhouse and studio in Sherman Oaks, California, here are the guys.
Well, hello there. I'm Dan Leonard.
And I'm George Whittem.
And this is VoiceOver
Body Shop,
or VO
BS.
Tech from talk. The choir invisible. Tech talk. Tech talk. Tech talk. Tech talk. Tech talk. Well, George is in Pennsylvania, and so we've been doing this show remote for so long. I mean, we've only been together in the studio like two or three times in the last 2 years, and looking forward to when we can come back. And, you know, we've got all this room on my couch for a live studio audience. So if you're brave enough, we'll probably return to that. Probably, you know, as soon as this Omicron thing sort of fades away.
Maybe you missed it last week, but since I have the rare opportunity to do this.
Go for
it. I'm going to press the blower button and the piano button and see what happens.
All right. Sounds great. That's in great tune. It's like going to the nether cutting scene.
And the remote doesn't really work very well. There it goes. I tried a few times. That is what happens in this house. My dad has been working on that piano with my mom since before I was born. That same piano. And now he controls several ranks of organ pipes. I mean, it is.
That's cool.
Never
very
a dull
cool
moment here.
Absolutely. So it's time for Tech Talk, where George and I talk about home voiceover studios. Because, by the way, that's what George and I do. We are home voiceover studio experts. And we say that because we've both been doing it for over 15 years. And we've worked with more people than anybody out there, and we're amazed by the misunderstanding, the misinformation that's out there. And so we want to set you all straight and make your life easier, not make it more complex. And what we can do is we can consult with you if you have no idea what you're doing. We can get you started from zero to hero in no time. And George, if they want to work with you, you've got your ways of doing things. I got my way. But if they want to work with you, where do they go?
You can head on over to georgethe.tech. That's my home on the web. This year, stay tuned. A new website is coming. Oh, yes, it is. A new website, which I'm very, very excited about. And you can book services over there with me and Tim Friedlander. And we've also got a hotline that's available. If you've got a tech emergency, you can reach several technicians, including, if you're really lucky, Dan Leonard might answer that phone when you call. So we have an amazing team of techs working through us to help deal with issues on demand. Even Robert Marshall, co-founder of Source Elements, on the team and able to help you with tech issues. I'm also designing studios and doing a lot of webinars this year. So it's all going to be happening over at georgethe.tech. And Dan, his home on the web is?
Home. There it is. Homevoiceoverstudio.com. My website's about to be redone too. It's going to be more user-friendly. We've moved the specimen collection cup up to the top, not at the bottom of the homepage. So when you come there, it's going to be right there, and you can send me an MP3 of your audio so I can hear exactly what's going on in your studio, and I can tell you, no, that's not right. You're too close to the mic. You're too far from the mic. Your acoustics are wrong. Or it sounds fabulous.
Which does happen. We get some good audio sometimes, which is really encouraging.
It's often, but most of the time it's people just trying to get it right. And unfortunately, you know, people go to voiceover schools or they get a coach or they find somebody who says, oh, you can learn to do voiceover. They don't know diddly squat about home voiceover studios. And some people will send you in the wrong way, the wrong direction. And, you know, my job is to say, that's all lies and misinformation. You know, keep it simple. It's not the technology that gets you work. It is your voice. And not trying to, you know, enhance it, trying to change it. There's no technology that's going to make you sound like Don LaFontaine or Tom Kenny. Only they can sound like that. You have to sound like you. And voiceover is about finding the uniqueness of your voice and exploiting that. And how do you capture your voice as your voice exists? So that's what I really concentrate on. And anyway, so we'll have lots of questions from our studio audience, the virtual studio audience. So we'll get to those in a little bit. But as we usually do at the top of our Tech Talk show, we go to George Whittam and his weekly tech update. What you got going on this week?
Well, first of all, I thought I would mention the microphone that I'm using on to do the show tonight. It's just barely in frame. Maybe I can cheat my camera angle down without causing any calamity. Just enough to show it a little bit better. There we go. This is the mic that I think I teased or talked about this mic quite a while ago, earlier last year. And this is the Tula mic, T-U-L-A. And I bought it to do... I couldn't resist its cuteness. Honestly, I couldn't resist how cute it is. The color scheming of it is so adorably like 60s retro. This color, what do you call this? Mint or something?
Something like that. It looks like a princess phone.
Yeah. And they had it in four different colors and it was reasonable. Like I think this runs around $230 for a USB mic, but it's not just any USB mic. It's got some really interesting tricks up its sleeve. And one of them I'm using right now, and that's the noise canceling feature. It has built-in noise canceling. And you'll see a light on the top here that says NC. That's turned on right now. Now, I can't guarantee you'll hear the effect when it's turned on versus off on StreamYard and our platform for streaming. But I'll try it with it off. So here's with it off. And you should hear a little bit of an increase in room tone or noise. Dan, could you hear the difference when I turned it
off? No, it looks like your mom's off the phone.
Okay. Well played. What this device does is when you engage noise canceling by holding down the NC button.
Very cool.
For that brief period of time, about 2 seconds, it's listening to the room tone and then setting up a filter inside. But what's cool about it is it's made by a software plugin company called Clevgrand, and it's called Bruce Free. I talked about this a year or so ago when it came out, the Bruce Free technology, as being a really good noise reduction plugin. It's built into the mic. It's crazy. I know it's crazy. And it's pretty impressive. But not only that, it's also a recording device. It has built-in storage, and it will record whatever you're doing. So it can be USB or a recorder or both. It does both simultaneously. So you have a built-in backup recorder, which is cool. And one last amazing trick, and it's got several, but this is the last one of note, is that it's recording a WAV file without the Bruce Free noise reduction and with the noise reduction. So you can decide later when you edit your podcast or whatever you're doing with that audio file, whether that noise reduction version will be useful or whether you want to do more with it in post without. So just really, really clever design. And well, you're hearing it tonight and you can hear what that mic actually sounds like. I can't monitor it right now, but it does actually have a headphone jack. And if I plugged a headphone jack in, I would be listening to it on headphones. Hopefully it's sounding good. Is it sounding pretty good tonight, Dan?
Sounds pretty good. Make sure to turn it up just a little bit.
Need a little bit more gas?
A little bit more.
Okay, I can do that. I can
turn the throttle up.
That should jump up quite a bit louder when I did that.
That's more like it. All righty.
Is that more solid? Okay, yeah. Great. So that's the Tula microphone. That's what I'm using tonight. Now, the reason I have it, not because I brought it, I actually gave it to my dad for Christmas. So I said, hey, Dad, can I use that mic I just gave you for Christmas? And he was happy to let me borrow it. Software-wise, Audacity 3.1.3 is released. That's the only software update release that I'm aware of that's come out since the last show. Not too many things really groundbreaking here. Apparently, making loop regions was too easy to do. It happened, like, I guess, accidentally. So they've made it harder to accidentally create loop regions when attempting to use timeline quick play. They've added snap guides when resizing clips, added new default shortcuts using Shift L to set loop selections and Alt Shift L to clear them. They re-added selection and quick play indicators in the timeline, which I think could be helpful if you use that feature a lot, and just generally improved performance dramatically since version 3.1. So if you're running Audacity, you might, and you're already on 3.1 or 3.12, it's probably worth updating to 3.13. Next up, Centrance, the creators of Micport Pro. We've all used on the show, off the show. We've known their products for years, all the different releases. Well, they're trying something new. In a time when digital chips and digital technology is, well, frankly, just very hard to get, they've decided to spend some more time developing analog gear, and they've created their series of analog processors called the English Channel. Very clever marketing, very clever name. And maybe I can show you that real quick. I'll do a quick screen share so you can see that in my browser. Here we go. And here it is. Sorry, Chrome tab. That's what I need to share.
Yeah, there you go.
I got it right. I almost got it. I almost so close to having it. What they're basically doing is I liken it to, let's call it effects, guitar effects pedals for voiceover. That's kind of what I'm calling it. So does everybody need to add effects to their recording signal chain while they're recording? I would argue to say no. But if you're looking at ways to just spice up what you're doing, or you want to work with very portable equipment, you want to be able to take the exact signal chain with you wherever you go. This makes that possible because it's incredibly, incredibly portable because of the form factor. Everything's based in these small, compact boxes. Here we go. That's what it looks like. They're all based in these small units. It's the same size chassis. It looks like they're using the same chassis from the mic or the mixer face, actually. And in the lineup, they've got these three products. They have the Jasmine, which is just a preamp. No AD converter, no USB, just a really clean, pure mic preamp with a really beautiful VU meter. And then they've got the Soap Box, which has a compressor, a de-esser, and a noise gate. Now, I've already had emails with Michael Goodman. He's been waiting to chat with me actually about it to find out exactly how that gate works. Is it how much does it gate, or is it expanding? There's more to learn, and hopefully I'll be learning more about it soon as to how it actually performs. But you can add that to your signal path between your preamp, and you don't have to use their preamp. You could use your own preamp and add this between your preamp and the rest of your system. And lastly is the Black Cab, and that is a EQ. So it gives you tone shaping capabilities. These things are coming out soon. Don't know when exactly. Apparently, they've got a really strong, strong discount. If you want to be early and get the first 50 units, you can sign up on their website at Centrance.com and get on the list. So that's going to be really cool to see what those things can do. But you know, I don't like to add more gear to a signal chain, so it's got to be clean. And hopefully, based on the track record that Michael and Centrance have had, this stuff should be ultra clean, very low noise. Yeah.
What do you think is the reasoning behind that? I would imagine more for music production and stuff like that. But
yeah, I think so. It's a little bit more music. I think more music would find it more useful. Maybe someone that's doing a lot of webcasting and they want that live processing capability. And just the fact that everything is completely portable. You know, everything can be run from batteries. So it becomes like this little portable Swiss Army knife audio chain kit that you can put together and use as you see fit. So, you know, it's a unique product. Is it something new to have those tools available? Not necessarily, but in this form factor, it is rather unique. So I don't know. I think it might be interesting to see what people come up with as a good use case for it in VoiceOver. And the last thing is that this is a tease, and I hate teasing, but I can't share any pictures yet. Studio Bricks does have new acoustical treatment that they're building and manufacturing, designing everything completely in-house. They tell me by next week we'll be able to actually share and release some actual photos of these. Now, I've seen them, some not ready for press photos, and it's impressive. They've got really nice corner-based traps, panels for the walls, and interestingly, and that's something I'm really curious to experiment with, are diffusers. So I'm curious to see how diffusers will help the sound of a small booth, like the Studio Bricks, Whisper Room, Vocal Booth, any small compact booth, how a diffuser panel on one wall can improve things or make it sound worse. So a lot more to experiment with, but they're really, really cool looking products. And all of the absorbers are made out of PET. It's a recycled plastic material that has no odor. That's the best thing of all. Absolutely no
off-gassing at all.
No off-gassing, no odor, no fibers to come loose into the air. Just, it's a really great material. I liken it a little bit to fleece. It's not exactly the same material, but it's kind of like that, and it's made out of recycled material. And it's becoming a lot more common, and, well, it looks really cool, too. So stay tuned. We'll definitely have some pictures and eventually some audio samples as well, I'm sure, to share with you guys. Anyway, that's Tech Talk.
Yeah, I can't wait for them to send me a whole Studio Bricks booth to
yeah, you know, carry it's about time, right?
Yeah, it really is.
Let's talk about acoustical problem-solving devices or money-making devices. Maybe is the better word to put it.
Really? Well, a Studio Bricks, of course, is really good. But I've been encountering people that, for some reason, think that this thing called the eyeball is like the answer to their problems. And it really is not. Nothing against the manufacturers of these things. But the eyeball, you know, we would see them at voiceover conferences, which, of course, we haven't had for a couple of years. Looking forward to when we can all get together and go to voiceover conferences again, because those are great fun and great networking events. What I found them really good for was playing Nerf volleyball at voice over conference events. It's the concept is this foam rubber ball you put over your microphone. People don't understand that the companies that designed these microphones spend, some of them probably literally millions of dollars, in the research and development of really fine microphones. And, you know, a lot of it has to do with the acoustical design of the microphone. So the idea of shoving a Nerf ball over it because your room is noisy just doesn't make any sense. They're not really that good at cutting outside noise. They also have a pop screen that fits right over the front of it, which promotes, to me anyway, the worst possible voiceover mic technique. It doesn't help. And the fact of the matter is, and they can sue me if they want, it doesn't work. If anything, it muffles your mic. You know, I remember our good friend Uncle Roy would be talking about it, and what he would do is he would shove bagels in it to see if that would improve the sound of it at all.
Well, I have pictures up here. This shows you who it really is intended
for. Oh, gosh.
Singers, rappers, hip-hop, you know, music producers. And it's a way to change the sound of the mic so that it sounds more thick and focused in a bigger open reverberant room. That's what it was for.
Right.
But
it's for singers.
An instant voiceover studio.
Right.
No, it does not.
Yeah. I think that people again forget that all of the technology that George and I are talking about, at least the major majority of it, none of it was ever, voiceover wasn't even in the back of the minds of the engineers designing this stuff. It's all made for making music. If you go into, you know, the Sweetwater catalog or Banjo Emporium and you look at what's there, it's all being directed towards musicians. At least it was. Now it's musicians and podcasters, because there are far more podcasters than there are voiceover people, which is fine. And of course, a lot of voiceover people doing podcasts. But if you've got a good studio doing a podcast, like we're doing right now, if you're listening to the podcast, you can hear that sounds the way it's supposed to sound, you know, which is what I'm always talking about. And
proper
generally,
design.
Yeah, there are some other portable, types of booths, like our good friend Harlan Hogan's, Portabooth Pro and Portabooth Plus, little plug there, Harlan. And it's those do work. There is a technique to using them, which will be, you know, if you have one, I'll be happy to show you how to use it properly. But they're designed to be on the road. And, you know, some people are very obsessive about being on the road. You know, Rick Wasserman has his tri-booth that you and Rick designed, which, you know, works really, really well. You know, my opinion has always been, if you're going on the road, you're going on the road. And if you're, you know, unless you are somebody like our guest last week, John Bailey, who doesn't go on the road very much, I think he just stays in his booth all day. You really should be doing what it is you went on the road for. But if you have auditions or if you have work, if you do stuff on the road, you can only do that, what you are recording on the road. You can't combine what you're doing in your home studio and on the road. It just doesn't work. It cannot be done. Someone will say, yeah, I can do that with all this technology. Fine, try it. It's not going to help you.
Yeah, there's very few exceptions. I mean, it's like if you're picking up like on an all new or like a NBC Friday, just like one short phrase,
you might get,
you know, recorded on a shotgun mic in the back of your car that you, with the, all the music and everything else that's in there and producers in the station that or studio know how to match the EQ and all that stuff, you can pull it off. But the clients that most of you are working with, don't want you to pull anything off. They just want consistent, clean audio. And doing that from the road is, I always say, it's the black belt of audio recording. It really is. It is the hardest thing to do well. And you add in the challenge of acting, which is in itself difficult. Now try doing that in a strange location where there's a whole new set of distractions, noises, things you can't predict, and then try to make that space sound like your voiceover studio from home.
Right.
It ain't easy. Do not try it unless you've had years into doing this and you really know your instrument, what you're supposed to be sounding like, and you have a good ear. It takes a really good ear to be able to pull that off, I think.
Yeah, it's not easy. Again, experience, skill. You don't guess. You don't like try a preset and hope that it works, you know. So to me, everything is about acoustics. The room that you record in solves so many problems and prevents you from, you know, it prevents you from having to use all that extra technology. Not saying that there isn't some processing that you can do, but, you know, it's minor. They're minor little corrections to the room and stuff like that. So get the room right. Don't shove a Nerf ball on your microphone. Anyway, we're going to take a break. We got lots of great questions tonight, and George and I will answer those questions right after this break. So don't go away. We'll be right back here on VoiceOver Body Shop Tech Talk.
This is Bill Ratner, and you're enjoying VoiceOver Body Shop with Dan Leonard and George Whittam, VOBS.TV.
The Harlan Hogan Portabooth Pro is making an impact worldwide. Voice talents in Europe and all over are discovering the solution to recording their voice tracks on the road. And it's not just the voiceover community. PBS and even several prisons are purchasing the Portabooth Pro for broadcasts and podcasts. Even more amazing, 5 touring companies of Broadway shows like Wicked are using the Pro across the country. Why is the Portabooth Pro gaining users worldwide? Performers can capture great audio even in acoustically untreated spaces with the Portabooth Pro. Your microphone hears the sound of a human-sized sound booth at a fraction of the size and cost. The Pro accommodates large and long microphones, lengthy scripts, and e-reading devices. The Harlan Hogan Portabooth Pro is lined with Auralex Studio Foam. It's a professional-quality sound studio that assembles in less than a minute, and its multi-pocketed carrying case makes it super easy to take your gear and your voice wherever you go. Order your Harlan Hogan Portabooth Pro now, only at voiceoveressentials.com.
Well, hello there. I bet you weren't expecting to hear some big-voiced announcer guy on your new orientation training for Snapchat, were you?
This is Virgin Radio.
Well, okay, we're not that innocent.
There's jeans for wearing and there's jeans for working. Dickies, because I ain't here to look pretty.
She's a champion of progressive values, a leader for California, and a voice for America.
It's smart. It's a phone. It's a smartphone. But it's so much more. The files are ready. Don't forget to pick up the eggs. What time is hockey practice? Check out this song.
It's the end of the road for Rick.
It's just you and me, Rick.
When hope is lost.
The i8 from BMW. Who said saving the planet couldn't be stylish?
Hey, it's J. Michael Collins. Bet you think I'm going to try and sell you a demo now, huh? I think they speak for themselves. But I will give you my email. It's jmichael@jmcvoiceover.com. Now, if Dan will stop waxing his mustache for a minute, we'll get back to the show.
Source Elements. Yes, it's time for Source Elements, the creators of Source Connect, and a ton of tools that allow studios to collaborate with other studios and the talent that record in them and record from home. And that's where you guys come in. Source Connect is an incredibly powerful tool to allow your studio to link up with other studios so that you can be in the booth, but do it from home. And well, the situation we're going through right now is not letting up. It seems like for a while, we're still going to be focusing on recording from home a lot. So you definitely want to get this in your toolbox. If you want to get Source Connect going, head over to source-elements.com and sign up for a 15-day free trial. And if you're already a Source Connect user, and a ton of you guys watching are, I know, you could also consider getting certified. They have certification courses on their website. You go through the course, you take the test, and you can take it as many times as you need to pass. And when you do, you'll get a certification. It's a little special badge that you can put on your site, and it says that you really understand how to use Source Connect. You know how to use it in your studio. And it also means you have a good sounding studio, because yeah, the quality of the sound of your studio really matters when you're using Source Connect. So they'll make sure you're where you need to be. Anyway, thanks for your support of VOBS into 2022 Source Elements. We really appreciate it. Let's get to some questions, shall we? Right after this.
Before time began, there was VOBS.tv. Watch or else.
And we're back. You know, it's interesting. I just had my 65th birthday, and the missus got me that. Thank you. Thank you very much. And my wife got, and I'm like twirling around in this thing. She got me an X chair. And if you go online and check out an X chair, this thing is so comfortable. It's like, I'm not coming back in the house. I'm just going to spend the rest of the day in my X chair. I mean, it's got so many adjustments on it. It fits my back perfectly. And, you know, and I have fallen asleep in it several times. So I am 65 after all.
Is it all mesh? So it breathes,
it's a foam seat, but the back is mesh. So it's the perfect combination of both. And it's really comfortable. Also mentioned in that, that spot for Harlan Hogan, since we were talking about, remote, portable studios. I was asking him, all right, so PBS I can understand, but prisons? He goes, oh yeah, they're using them for podcasts and, teaching inmates how to broadcast and do podcasts and stuff, which are probably quite interesting. But also the Broadway shows. And I'm like, what on earth could they possibly be using a porta booth for Broadway shows? And he's like, oh. But they want them, we're selling them to them, and out the door they go.
My guess is they might be using them, because I got to go backstage to, I think it was Matilda. I got to get a backstage tour of Matilda. And you'd be blown away with the fact that in these old, and pretty small theaters where they do Broadway, the musicians are they're in different spaces. They're down in the basement. They're in sometimes more than one room.
Not just in the orchestra pit, yeah.
Yeah, I'm guessing that they might be using these to do some of the character voices, off-camera voices, and things like that in different parts of the basement or the catacombs of the theater. That's my best guess as to what they would actually be using them for. But
yeah, Harlan thought it might be for the singers trying to keep, they want to be, the producers back in New York want to make sure that the people on the road show are, up to par with the Broadway cast. So, but I think that was his guess. Who knows? All we know is that people like the Porta Booth Pro and they should be using it. Okay, we've got questions from our fabulous audience. We sort of got this one last week when we were talking with John Bailey, but now is probably a more appropriate time to address it. From Will Hansen, he says, good evening, everyone. Happy New Year from a couple weeks ago. I was wondering what your thoughts were on emulation style mics. I just bought the Slate M1 since it was on sale. But have yet to use it since my laptop just crashed. I have regular mics also, but wondering on what you guys thought about them. Thanks. Emulation mics. Now, there's the L22. Is that an emulation mic? The Sphere.
Sphere.
Yeah. And there's a couple of companies doing this saying, we can make it sound like any mic. Personally, and you all know where I'm coming from, it's not the equipment, it's not the microphone that's going to get you the gig. I find that this kind of stuff is for audio geeks. You want to play with microphones and hear how they'd sound different? That's fine. I mean, I've got my Ribbon mics, my original, 70, 80, 90-year-old Ribbon mics and stuff, and I'll play with them. Occasionally, I was in a film recently where I needed to use a Ribbon mic to imitate the sound of something from the 60s. And yeah, I had it. Of course, I used the best Ribbon mic I had, not one that hummed a lot. And, to emulate another mic, I don't quite get that. Everybody wants to have that certain sound. It's not something that I try to achieve. I have two or three mics. I have one in my studio. I've got my 416 in my booth. I've got my handmade mic right here. We have the Harlan Hogan VO1A on set a lot of times, and that's about it. You know, it captures you as you exist. Mr. Whittem? Mm-hmm.
Well, they can be a lot of fun, Dan. they can be a lot of fun to play with. Certainly they are for those that love the recording and engineering process. They want to have a tremendous amount of control over their tone. They want to just have a lot of fun and live in a fantasy of having a mic cabinet with 20 or 30 microphones. And, you know, these emulation mics let you do that. I don't know the Slate very well. I haven't spent any time using it. I do know the Townsend Labs Sphere L22 a lot better. I've set them up for some people. I've demoed it and tested it. And it's a lot of money and certainly added complexity for someone who's already getting a great result with a Neumann TLM-103, a Sennheiser 416, etc. But you can get the sound of a 416 from this mic, and then you can still play with it as though it were a TLM-103 because you can use the same kind of proximity effect of a large diaphragm condenser, but with the sound of a 416. So there's a little bit of fun, a little wizardry to be had there. It's definitely for more technical kind of people and geeks. There's one situation where I actually bought an L22 for someone when we just couldn't even buy a Neumann U87. they just were not shipping. They were not available. So we put in an L22. That's the Sphere. And the client was happy with it. They thought it sounded like their U87 well enough. And so we were able to get that mic and get it up and running and make the client happy, who was very specific about him, the talent, using a U87. So that's an odd situation, but that's a scenario where it could be useful.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm, you know, like me, like I said, have the real thing. It makes things a lot easier. You get the next question from Serwin LaVecchia.
All right. This one is from YouTube. And the question is, what trends do you gentlemen see coming for 2022?
That means, yeah, what gentlemen are we talking about here? Yeah,
there might be one here somewhere.
not in your living room. Well, let's see. What trends do I see coming? Well, you know, personally, I mean, you know, maybe it's because this is what I try to keep telling everybody is keep it simple, that perhaps people will stop looking at all this highfalutin technology and spending money on it. There was a very interesting thread on Facebook, not that I spend any time there, but when I see something, it's, you know, in one of the VO Tech groups. And I'm talking about, if I had $5,000, what should I spend it on? And of course, everybody's like, well, I love these headphones because those headphones are going to make me sound great. No, they're just going to make sound like headphones. I mean, everybody's like saying, well, they got to use this or you got to use that. And the fact is, every voice is different. Every microphone is different. Every room is different. So the idea, I hope the trend is, keep it natural, keep it simple. At least that's my hope for it. I think another trend that we'll probably see is that people are still going to have to use home studios even more if we continue to get, you know, more variants of this this particular virus that's been spreading around for 2 years now. You know, you need a home studio, so I think the trend will be more people having home studios, meaning there'll be a lot of people who have a home studio who don't know how to use a home studio, and they should therefore, the trend should be to watch our show every week.
I think there's also a trend towards more totally unprocessed or natural sounding auditions because it is about home studios now. They're not just auditioning your voice and your acting. They're also auditioning your studio. And as John alluded to last week when he was talking about, you know, video game companies being really picky about the recording quality, I think that's going to be becoming a little bit more of a trend. I think there's going to just be more and more focus on the sound quality of your home studio and not hiding things with processing. At the same time, processing is going to get better this year, because it always does. So it's always like the race between, you know, is better processing going to get so good that we can start using it to recreate the sound of a good studio? We'll see. That's I'm sure the next trend is going to be more emulation, more simulation, and more ways to get good sound out of bad rooms and cheap gear. So we shall see. It's going to be an interesting year.
Yeah, I mean, we were talking about AI last week too. That's also going to be a trend that we're going to be watching. Some people say, you know, this sounds great. They're getting much better at it. You know, as far as I'm concerned, for a 15-second spot, you can get away with it. For an announcement in an airport, you can probably get away with it. If create an emulation in AI voices, you know, from all the voices they've stolen or bought, they can. Can they create the sound of a human coloring their words? There's a certain amount that there's a human factor to what we do that I think just cannot be emulated by a computer. If it's not this, it's that, you know, A plus B, you know, minus zero. And the computer is going to say, well, we could do this. There's just too many variables. And our minds and our individuality is what sells a voice, and not just the sound of a voice saying, please come into the exit this way. lobby. Remember that one? That's AI voices probably for e-learning stuff and things along those lines. But we're going to watch. That's going to be an interesting trend here in 2022, because we're going to see more and more of it. And whether it's good or not, you know, if companies want to cheap out and use that kind of stuff, they're not the kind of people you want to work for. They're going to try and cheap out on you if they used a live voice. So work with the clients that understand that a human voice is the human voice, and they want your talent, not some computers. Anyway, no attitude about that at all. But, you know, anyway, next question, because you and I are both Mac users. And, you know, I think we probably have some different ways of looking at this. What do you recommend, George, specifically, for a system management software for Mac? Mac Cleaner? Curious. I'm getting some slowdown on my M1 Mac 1 Mini 8GB. Maybe have 16. That might help.
Yeah, I had a 8GB MacBook Air, and I had a 16GB and still do Mac Mini M1. These are both M1s. And I noticed the 16GB Mac Mini M1 was performing way better than the 8GB machine. I wasn't having freezing or just laggy things or very slow waking up from sleep issues and just general, probably the things you're describing, Dave. And my solution to that was actually to sell my 8GB MacBook Air and buy a 16GB one instead. And that's what I'm using now. I'm not using any optimizers, cleaners, managements, blah, blah, nothing at all in this machine whatsoever. One of the reasons is because it's on Monterey. It's on the absolute newest bleeding edge Mac OS. And it's so new that there's nobody, I don't think anybody, you'd be crazy to go hacking around trying to optimize it, because it's a new system. It's not even, Apple hasn't even optimized it yet. So like, it's going to take a while before all the optimizations are there in the system. So I don't know if there's anything that I can recommend for these brand new Silicon Macs that are going to make them perform better. Other than more memory. It's 8GB technically should be fine for most things, but if you're a power user like me, Chrome, multiple instances, many tabs open, and lots of things using memory, Chrome uses a ton of memory, then you're using up all 8 gigs of RAM really, really quickly. And I think there's some bottlenecking going on there with that, and that causing the lag. I got the 16 gigabyte variation of the MacBook Air, and it has been, well, flawless. It has performed flawlessly. Dan, you're also using the same, I believe, and
I started putting it through its paces over the holidays, and today specifically, I was doing a video, you know, creating a commercial for VoiceOver Essentials, and it's like, okay, render, you know, 30 seconds, and it was done. Whereas the old, you know, an old Mac would take a minute two, you know, something like that. Amazing how fast it is. The only thing I find it slow on is Facebook. Facebook seems to load very, very slowly. But everything else, when you're on the internet, if you're searching for something, boom, 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 boom. It just works. And it's really light, which is what I really like.
It doesn't surprise me because there's a bit of a feud going on between Apple and Facebook.
That may explain it. Who knows?
But yeah, I've been really, really pleased, and I'm running the show tonight on my MacBook Air M1 computer, and it's
excellent.
It's working beautifully.
All right, Grace Newton. Yes, she says I have a Focusrite Scarlett Solo interface. Is there a default setting for gain and volume? I was told to have the gain at 1 to 2 o'clock and the volume at 3. My noise floor is minus 60 or better. I know there are a lot of variables, but I'm just wondering, is there a basic guide to follow? Well, I've got my basic guide to follow, which is, especially with the Scarlett, you know, with the Focusrite, it's got the halo meter on it, which is very, very useful. Always in the green, always in the yellow, with an occasional intermittent flash of red. If you're just in the green and not in the yellow, it's not loud enough. So is there a default setting? We generally recommend 3 o'clock on the gain dial to start off.
A starting point.
Right. And look and see, you know, based on, you know, how loud you normally talk naturally, like I'm talking right now. And always in the green, always in the yellow, with an occasional flash in the red. You don't want it to be constantly in the red, but if it's in the yellow, it should be fine. And that's the standard that you should be setting it by, and it's going to be different for every voice and every microphone. So you've got to set it yourself. So there's no, like, you know, one-size-fits-all sort of setting on a Focusrite. George?
Yeah, I mean, the Scarlett is a very easy to use product. The Halo view is handy. The point of being able to set the gain by default, there's no default. You have to actually set your gain based on your performance, how loud you're reading, your style of reading, how close your mic is, and what type of mic you're using. All that stuff has to be done correctly, and you can't just set it and forget it. You do have to get it right. But yeah, if you're always in the green, you're a little lean. Up in the yellow, you can let it mellow.
Works for me. You get the next question. Jim McNicholas on YouTube.
All right. So Jim from Nick YouTube says, a simple question. I have to record with a music bed that ends with a jingle for a hardware store. So it sounds like Jim is entering the world of production.
Doing a
Not
donut.
Just voice acting. Yeah. Do you record and then mix, or do you record while it's running under you?
Having been a radio production director and having done trillions of these, if you're doing it live on reel-to-reel tape, yeah, that's the only chance you have until they came up with multi-tracking reel-to-reel machines. But with regular voiceover, you know, recording multi-track software, if you learn how to use that, it's record the voice track, take the music track, put it underneath, and then you can balance the levels and add any compression to your voice so it floats on top of the music. If you try to do it live, you're going to keep doing it over and over again until you get it right. You know, it used to be hold the record and okay, let's go down to, you know, that sort of thing. No, trying to do it live is not very efficient. Getting it right, sounding perfect, is record the voice track first, add the music in another track, and then you can work it. I think I showed people how to do actually, I think that was in the audition webinar we did a couple of weeks ago, where how is it that you set, you know, there's a volume line in there and you click different points and you bring the volume down on the music. It's called ducking. And then the music sort of rolls underneath and your voice floats on top. And no, it's not something you're going to learn in 5 minutes. It takes a sharp ear to do it and a lot of experience. But you got to learn how to do it. If someone's asking you to do it, perhaps ask somebody who actually knows how to help you out and give you the proper instruction, or do it for you if it's like one client wants this one time. What do you think?
Yeah, yeah. There's a certain point where are you deciding to now enter the world of production, which this is production work. And if that's fine, if that's what you want to do and make a career of it, then start learning how to be a producer and how to do all that work. And we can teach you. I can do a session with you and teach you how to do it. But if it's just a one-off gig, it better be paying you really well and paying you for the production, because that's all, you know, stuff you have to learn. So decide if that's really a priority for you, or just stick to voiceover. So we can teach you.
Not your
how.
Job. Yeah, unless
should we do a speed round? It looks like we got like four more questions piled up here.
Maybe let's see what we can do here. From Linda Joyce Miner, I'm about to spend my Christmas money on the Sennheiser MKE 600 shotgun. Based on your past yuck yucks and discussions, I think she probably means the 416. Is there a 600?
Yeah, we've never talked about that, Mike. I don't think ever.
Usually it's the 416.
Nothing wrong with it. It's just one of their more entry-level versions of a 416. It's a lesser quality shotgun mic at a much more affordable price. And it's fine. It's not great. It's not very quiet. Its self-noise is quite a bit higher than a 416. But it can work fine.
Yeah. But she's saying, ooh, currently back to using the mic sent with the Scarlett 2i2 package, which is better than it used to be, but it's a very noisy mic.
They got better, didn't they? Didn't they redo that mic?
A little bit.
Because I remember the original one was really noisy, and then I think they'd revamped it, and the new one is quite decent. So I know Linda's freaking out in the chat room. Linda, just record some audio with both mics. And let us hear it. We'll give you a judgment instantly about which is the better mic for you. And then sell the other one. We'll return it.
All right. Let's see here. Patricia, Andre, and Jeff are asking, could you please ask the guys, okay, what should we expect from our first consulting session with them as newbies? Well, that's a great question, actually. I know what I do is I ask a lot of questions. What type of work are you planning on doing? What, you know, where do you have to record? Have you set up a space to record yet? All these, there's a lot of different questions. I used to sell life insurance, and we used to call it a fact finder. Find out where the problems exist and how can we correct them. If you're a total beginner and you have no idea what you're doing, George and I will take you through the process of the things that you need to do, and we'll show you how to do it. Well worth it, because as we said at the top of the show, nobody's teaching this stuff except us. Other people are like, yeah, you can do this. Yeah, you can do that. There's a way to do it. We have a formula for getting it right and getting it right quickly. How do you usually work with people?
Well, you know, you schedule a session with me. I ask that you send me as much information about your studio or what your situation is as possible in advance. So we're not spending a lot of time, in discovery. Send me all your info ahead so I know what we're dealing with. Send me an audio sample if you've already got a studio, and then I will dig right in with my advice about where you need to go from there. We can uncover a lot of stuff in 30 minutes, really a ton of stuff. So, you know, you'd be amazed at what we'll get done. And we'll usually get through your initial request in the first 5 to 10 minutes and then get into a bunch of just follow-ups in the last 15 to 20 minutes, you know. Right. So that's how I tend to work quickly. And you know, make the best use of your time. Sometimes we spend 30 minutes talking and we're just shooting the breeze and your time is up. So don't just make sure you give me a chance to respond. I think that's probably a big tip for some of you guys. You hire me and then it's like a counseling session. Give me a moment to respond sometimes and give me my advice and take it. Take the advice I have to give you.
So. Yeah. Nothing is more fun and more satisfying when you finish a session and somebody goes, oh, and they're not intimidated. They're not scared by it anymore. They're like, oh, it's a cassette recorder. Plus, you know, play, record, rewind, stop. You know, forget the computer stuff. It's just a recording medium. And we try to simplify that down. Well, I think that's all the time we have for questions this week. Lots of them. Love it. Love that we have lots of people watching live. It's always fun more fun to watch live. But if you have a question at any time, you can write to us at theguys@vobs.tv. And we'll get the question on the show. We love getting questions in advance because we can read them and go, what can we say about this question? Okay. So if you've got a question, send it there to theguys@vobs.tv. All right. We're going to wrap things up right after this. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back here on Voice Over Body Shop Tech Talk.
This is Ariana Ratner, and you're enjoying Voice Over Body Shop with Dan Leonard and George Whittam, vobs.tv.
When I speak with actors about adding audiobooks to their voiceover quiver, and doing so through my class, the one I teach with Dan O'Day called the ACX Masterclass, they say, look, we know it's a valuable class. It's got all the things we need. It's really expensive. Do you have a payment plan? I usually have to say, no, we don't. But now I can say, yes, we do, because we're going to do a special 4-month payment plan that reduces your 4 monthly payments down to an amount that would fit in anybody's budget. And then on your 4th payment, we start the class right at the beginning of 2022. So you don't even have to remember that we're opening the doors on this on December 20th. All you have to do is go now to acxmasterclass.com. Take a moment, do it now. Join our alert list, and we'll let you know when the doors open on this special 4-month payment plan for the ACX Masterclass. That's acxmasterclass.com.
In these modern times, every business needs a website. When you need a website for your voice acting business, there's only one place to go. Like the name says, voiceactorwebsites.com. Their experience in this niche webmaster market gives them the ability to quickly and easily get you from concept to live online in a much shorter time. When you contact voiceactorwebsites.com, their team of experts and designers really get to know you and what your needs are. They work with you to highlight what you do. Then they create an easily navigable website for your potential clients to get the big picture of who you are and how your voice is the one for them. Plus, voiceactorwebsites.com has other great resources like their practice script library and other resources to help your voiceover career flourish. Don't try it yourself. Go with the pros. VoiceActorWebsites.com, where your VO website shouldn't be a pain in the you-know-what.
You're still watching VOBS?
And we're back to say goodbye. Thanks so much for watching tonight, guys. It's always great having when we have a live audience that's watching, you know, while we do the show, it works a lot better. So try and make it here on every other Monday night. Anyway, next week we've got another great guest. I got a couple of people we're talking to who there that I might be on. They're going to have some stuff that is very important for you to know and get your brain working for 2022. And who are our donors of the week? You get to lead off this time.
All right. This time we've got Rob Ryder,
Patty Gibbons,
Greg Thomas,
Shayna Pennington Baird, or Shauna Pennington Baird.
Yes, Icon Productions.
Don Griffith.
Stephen Chandler.
Sandra Manwiller.
Robert Leadham.
Antland Productions. Thanks, Uncle Roy.
Shelley Avellino.
Tom Pinto.
Brian Page.
George Whittam, the senior one. And a doctor voice, which we are suspecting Nathan. By his email address, is Dr. Nathan Carlson. Thanks for
Nathan
joining us,
Nate.
Great guy.
ER doctor in Rancho Cucamonga.
Rancho. Rancho Cucamonga. Yeah, that's like when you come out of the Cajon Pass, you land in Rancho Cucamonga. It's like, I am in Southern California. Let's see here. Okay, we need to thank our sponsors. Well, first off, again, where do you go if you want help from George or I? If you want to work with George, you go to
georgethe.tech. That's my home on the web for tech support. And you go over to
homevoiceoverstudio.com. Yeah, homevoiceoverstudio.com. And, use my specimen collection cup. Let's hear what your audio is actually sounding like. And we'll get that straightened away. Let's thank our sponsors. You go first this time.
Harlan Hogan's VoiceOver Essentials.
VoiceOver Extra.
Source Elements.
VOHeroes.com.
VoiceActorWebsites.com.
And JMC Demos. Oh, our thanks to Jeff Holman. Great job in the chat room tonight, getting all those questions out to us. Lots of people asking questions. We love it. Sue Merlino, getting it done as our technical director, switching up the cameras and all the things, even though there's like one camera here and one camera there, but gets all the other stuff in there. We love her, and we just thank her a whole lot for sticking it out with us over this pandemic. And, of course, Lee Penny, simply for being Lee Penny. Well, that's going to do it for us this week on VOBS Tech Talk. You know, it's not an easy business. There's a lot of stuff you got to learn. The technical stuff, that's our department. We like to hear what your audio sounds like. And the bottom line is, if it sounds good,
it is good.
Outstanding. I'm Dan Leonard.
I'm George Whittam.
And this is VoiceOver
Body Shop.
Or VOBS. Tech Talk. We'll see y'all next week. Have a good one.
Bye, everybody.